There's the school bell. That's the old school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you hear that bell, you know to go get your Bibles, pull up a chair, turn up your radio, and be ready to be a student and learn something from these old Sunday school lessons that we are studying. Isn't it good that we live where people still love the Bible and love to talk about the Bible and love to hear about the Bible? And you have little programs like this on the radio that guide you in Bible study. Today we're going to be looking at an event that took place in the book of Luke, chapter 24, about Jesus after he rose from the dead. And he walked to a place called Emmaus with two men, but did not realize they were walking with Jesus. And then when they found out, they were amazed. And they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the 11 who had been gathered together. And so we find that lesson in Luke chapter 24. Take your Bibles and turn there. And we'll begin that lesson in just a few moments. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at old Sunday school lessons. I have a little book of a collection of the Sunday school lessons that were prepared for the Sundays of 1923 by E.A. Elam. The name of this little book is called Elam's Notes. And we're letting old Brother Elam, though he has long now been dead, we're letting him be the teacher by me going back over these old Sunday school lessons that he had prepared. And now let's talk about Jesus and his walk to Emmaus. Emmaus, that's the name of the little village. It means hot springs or warm water. It was 60 furlongs, or about 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. But where Emmaus was located today is unknown. Some have supposed that it was northwest of Jerusalem, others as far southwest. It is not mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. It is well enough in our study of the resurrection of Jesus. Humanity seems prone to celebrate and note events and marked epochs, and it has sought in vain to discover the birthday of Jesus in order to celebrate it. It seems just as prone also to neglect and to even reject God's requirements and to institute ways and laws of its own. To honor God and Christ is to obey them and to trustfully follow their wisdom. It is self-glorification to follow human ways and human wisdom. Now let's talk about that, walk to Emmaus. We read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem." Now these two disciples were not apostles. We're going to read in verse 33 that after they saw Jesus, they came to the 11 who had gathered together. Of course, there's 11 because Judas is not with them. And so neither of these two men are apostles. Now, we got the name of one of them, Cleopas. But that's really all we know about him. His identity with the Cleopas of John 19:23 is altogether uncertain. But it is a possibility. You see, in John 19, in verse 25, when they were standing, the women standing before the cross, it says there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there's at least three Marys there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And then there's Mary's sister. and the fact that she's called the wife of Cleopas, that's the only other mention of Cleopas that we have in the New Testament. And I suppose this could be the same man. But as far as the name of the other disciple, well, his name is not given. Now those who fear Jehovah speak often to one another about him. Let me read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 14. Those two men, it says, they communed with each other of all things which had happened. The things about which they talked together with so much interest were the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus and the wonderful story of his resurrection. This was an all-important matter with them. People talk about that which concerns them most. When they are deeply interested in Jesus and his religion, they will talk about him. He was near to those who thought and talked about him. So he is yet. Then they that feared Jehovah spake one with another, and Jehovah hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Jehovah and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Jehovah of hosts, even my own possession in the day that I make, or in the day that I do this, as it reads in the margin. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. That's from the old prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible is filled with such exhortations and promises and even warnings about the need for us to be able to gather together and to talk about God and his word. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, we read, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon the hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates." Why did God want his word so prominent and so well known everywhere? Because when he saw, he wanted people to see those things and think of his word and talk about it one with another. You know, we're going to be judged by the things that we say and the things wherein our conversation lie. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Ye offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you, that every idle word which men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And so, we read that it's a sad time for any home when its inmates cease to speak often of Jesus. That church, whose members do not speak freely and often to one another about Jesus and the Word of God, is a church in spiritual decay. We read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 15. It came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. While they communed, or that is, while they talked together, and questioned together about the things, trying to reconcile apparent difficulties, to clear up their perplexities, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Jesus appeared to those who were most interested in Him. It is true today that those who are most interested in Him are the ones most greatly helped and blessed by Him. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, He is in the midst of them. Wherefore Jesus came from, and where Jesus came from and how He came there, we do not know. Not hindered by material things, He appeared at will where He pleased. Yet He had a body of flesh and bones. We read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. That means that in some miraculous way their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Doubtless because they would speak more freely of the things and the opportunity to teach them would be better. Mark 16 and verse 12 says, He was manifest in another form unto these two men. They did not see Him as He was. And then Jesus questioned their answers. It's like the children answering their grandparents a question. And yet these answered the question. It says here in Luke chapter 23 and verse 17. And He said unto them, What communications are these that ye have with one another as ye walk? And they stood still, looking sad, seeing they were downcast, perplexed, and seriously in earnest. He asked them what was the matter, and they stood still, looking sad. They stopped for a moment in the way, which is natural on being interrupted, and their earnest conversation by a stranger on receiving them into their company. And so in Luke chapter 24 and verse 18, one of them named Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass in these days? In answering this question, Cleopas in astonishment asked, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem? And he asks, And you do not know the things which are come to pass in these days? Cleopas thought this stranger must be the only one who had not heard of these wonderful things. This question shows how universally these things were known and talked about. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 19 we read, And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, The things concerning Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Jesus asked, in order to draw them out more fully, What things? And they answered, Concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who is a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people. Jesus spake as never man spake, and taught the people as one having authority, and not as the scribes. His words were full of meaning and power. At His word, peace, be still. The boisterous winds hushed and the rolling waves subsided. At His word, demons came out of their unfortunate victims. The variously afflicted were healed, and the dead came to life. In fact, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. All His mighty deeds and wondrous miracles show that He was a prophet sent from God. We're going to continue following this story as Jesus walks with these two to Emmaus. And next time we gather together for class, wouldn't it be wonderful to take a walk with Jesus? I would like to know who He was if I was doing that. And these men would find out soon enough and talk about how it would just burn within them. You come to us and worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. We're going to be talking about Jesus when we gathered there. and you'll love to hear these stories from the Bible.